name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen, Lord, through the intercession of St. Mary, St. George, St. Anthony, and with the power of your cross, hear us when we pray thankfully, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thank you. Okay, so today's topic is titled Back to Basics. So before we get into the title, when I say back to basics from a Christian perspective, anything come to mind? I'll just see if it's what we're actually going to talk about it.
Like scripture, because scripture is like the basic instructions.
Yeah.
Prayer and fasting.
Prayer and fasting. Anything else? Okay, so we're going to talk back to basics from a relationship with God perspective. So it covers all that. And we're going to talk about four main things. First of all, what is that in relationship and why a relationship with God? Then we're going to talk about love quickly, because God is love. So any relationship with God has to be based on love. Then we're going to talk, when you love someone, then you want to spend time with them, right? And so when you spend time with someone, then you have to have a dialogue. So we're going to talk about how to talk and how to listen to God. Is that okay? And this is not like a sermon or anything, so interrupt anytime, or if something doesn't make sense, don't just like leave it there, because it builds on. Okay, so the importance of a relationship with God. So the Lord also said, unless you are converted and become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So a lot of the things we're talking, it's called back to basics. So most of this, all of this, you know already. But as we go through life, sometimes things get complex or complicated, unnecessarily so. I mean, life is not simple, but sometimes we need to kind of peel away the complexity and make sure we have the core foundation in mind, so that we're not just doing stuff out of habit or out of robots, or I'm going to do this so God doesn't strike me down. So that's why we want to just review the basics of our relationship with God. There's two books that I based some of this content on. I'll share them at the end. I actually can't find one of them, but I read it before, and the second one I have. Okay, relationship and its importance. So do you all agree that relationships are important? Do we all agree relationships are exciting? Yes. So relationships could be friends, could be spouse, could be extended family, husband and wife. And the Lord Jesus is always knocking at my door, and it's kind of bizarre. Why are you knocking at my door, Lord? Like, it's like the king is knocking at a pauper's door. And in the liturgy of St. Gregory, he says, you are not in need of my servitude, but it is I who am in need of your lordship. And yet, it's kind of illogical he's still knocking on my door. Like, I think if I was, God forbid, in the place of God, I wouldn't bother with us. But out of his great, unexplainable, infinite love, he's knocking on our door. But it is me who is in need, and yet it is he who is knocking. So if I was bright, I would let him in, but we don't always do. And he's meek and humble and gentle and peaceful. He's not going to plow his way into my heart if I'm not letting him. You could also flip it and say, none of us is going to be forced into heaven. Like, heaven is an option. You have to want to go there. The Lord's not going to force us into heaven. He's not going to plow his way into my heart. He's going to gently knock and wait for me to open. I want to have a relationship with God. What are the elements? What is the recipe of a successful relationship? You guys have to shout stuff in, because otherwise I'm going to get boring to listen to. So, elements of a successful relationship. You all know this stuff.
Trust.
Excellent. What else?
No secrets.
Honesty. Yes. What else?
Loyalty.
Amazing. What else? We said it before. You have to talk and listen. So communication, dialogue, sacrifice, patience, God's presence, forgiveness. So all these are elements of a successful relationship. And we often, or sometimes, let each other down when it comes to one of those eight elements, right? Sometimes, we're not as open, we're not as honest. But the Lord never lets us down on any of this. Jesus loves us unconditionally. We can trust him. We know that. He is honest, and he's not just honest, he's the source of truth. So sometimes I'm honest with you, but you know, I'm only sharing my perspective, but he is honest, and what he's sharing is true. Like, there's no doubt about it. And he communicates his word to us, and he loves to hear from us. Again, it's illogical that this great almighty King and God wants to hear from me, but it's true. He loves to hear from us. He sacrificed himself for us, and the Father sacrificed his only begotten Son, whom he loves, in order to save us. He is patient, he's long-suffering, and he is the source of forgiveness. So all those eight attributes, you guys listed some of them, we have them in the Lord. And Christianity is about relationships. It's not about rules. It's not about what's haram, halal, what's forbidden or allowed. Christianity is about relationship with God and relationship with each other through that relationship with God. Relationship with each other outside God is not true love. And it's not a bond that's going to stay, because he is the glue, he is the foundation, and without him, any two people who want to be in a relationship, yes, it will last to a certain degree, but it's not going to be everlasting. Only God is everlasting, and he is the true love. So Christianity is about relationship, and Christianity is about the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so just that's quickly about relationship. Now, we were created in the image of God. And when we stray away from the image of God, whether we admit it or not, there's a gap in our life. There's a void. There's something missing. There's a sense of emptiness. And we often try to fill that emptiness with stuff. What do we try to fill that emptiness? Examples of, you know, when there's a void, someone's away from God, and they feel they're not fulfilled. What are examples of things we, like, not you necessarily, me or anyone else, do? Sometimes we seek to fill it with entertainment, with money, what else? With illicit drugs, with inappropriate relationships. We said Christianity is about a relationship, but it's a proper relationship grounded in God and in the truth. But sometimes when we don't have that relationship, we try to fill it with other relationships, with things or with people that are not appropriate. Sometimes we fill it with overworking or overstudying, and it's not wrong to work or study. Sometimes we fill it with an unnatural desire for success. Again, God wants us to be successful, but he doesn't want us to be like focused on the earthly success so much that we lose sight of our eternal future and success. So there's lots of things we do to try and fill the emptiness when we stray away from the relationship with God, in whose image we were created and who is the source of love. So we feel that emptiness, we try with our own ability to fill it one way or another. But the Lord says, I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I am the source of truth. I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. So he's saying, I'm supposed to be, I want to fill you. Don't try and search for, I forget the verse in the Old Testament. He says, my people sinned twice. How, Lord, did they sin? They tried, they forgot about me, and instead they tried to fill the void with like vessels that are broken and cannot contain the water. So that's what we do sometimes, is like, we think we're clever. It's like, no, we don't want to follow what you're saying. We've got this, and we don't. We need the relationship with God. Okay? That's about relationship. Now, let's move on to love. Because God is love. And we love him because he first loved us. It's not like we love him because we're doing him a favor. Like we said, he has no need of my service. He has no need of my love. He has no need of anything that I offer. But it's out of his love, out of his sacrificial love. He loved us first. He died. Today is the Feast of the Cross we celebrate this morning. He died on the cross for us. And we shouldn't forget that, and we shouldn't waste it. Often, like, we mentally know he died on the cross. But then, okay, what does that mean for me? I shouldn't take it for granted. I shouldn't waste it. I need to return to what we could say is our first love. We won't read it together, but you all know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, there's 13 verses that explain what love means. And I'm talking about love, the agape love. I think there's 4 Greek words that can translate to the English word of love. Some of them are not love. Some of them, like, I love a burger, or I love a veggie burger. You're not, that's not love. You're consuming that object. You're not offering it any love. So we're talking about sacrificial, endless, pure God's love. And the Lord wants us to return to our first love. To the first angel of the churches in the book of Revelation, to the angel of the church of Ephesus, the Lord writes, or he says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the 7 golden lampstands. What do you want to say, Lord? You probably know that the messages to the churches fall in the same kind of, here's the great things you're doing, but I have this against you. And that, thank God, it doesn't stop there, because he continues with, okay, you want to remedy those things. He gives you the solution. He gives you the positive, gives you the negative, and he gives you what it takes to get rid of the negative and make it positive. So what does he say? I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. All good. Okay? And you have tested those who say that they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and you have preserved and have patience and have labored in my namesake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. That's why we want to focus on going back to the basics, because sometimes as we proceed in our life and as we grow and as things seem complicated, we let go of that first love of God. You were created in the image of God, so what's natural is for you to be like God, full of love, lovely people, loving people. Especially us as Christians, because we were reborn, we were baptized in the name of Christ, we have put on Christ, we have put on love. We're not like those who don't have that. We have been brought to the initial image that we were created. Okay, so then what do we do? Sorry, I have to keep taking my glasses off. So the solution, he said, I have this against you, that you have left your first love, the pure love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. And then he encourages it again, but this you have, that you have hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Those were spreading false heresies. All heresies are false. So return to your first love, the Lord says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus. Okay. He says to repent, remember, repent, and do the first works. Loving God also implies we also have to love one another, right? And you know the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It involves loving, it involves giving, it involves forgiving. When I say giving, I think in our culture, maybe not you guys, but I find a lot of people I run into, they're willing to give time and money, but give the simple things, give the smile, be pleasant to people, check up on people. Like, some things don't need a lot of effort, but they need conscious willingness to do it, to help out other people, to be welcoming. Our church, unfortunately, not all churches, but many of our Coptic churches are not welcoming to new faces. We need to kind of break out of that and not hold on too much to whatever, if it's Arabic or Coptic or what have you. Okay, love, give, forgive, and you will be forgiven. Focus on the positives and try to transform your life to come closer and closer to God. Love God, love others, love yourself. Now, I don't mean love yourself in a selfish way, but seek what is good for your future. be transformed. Don't conform to the world, as St. Paul says in Romans 12, verse 2. There's also, there was a recent talk, February 28th, that, anyone know Mother Theolepti? Yeah, she gave a very nice, she's a Coptic nun who's of Chinese origin, Canadian, living in Canada, who found the Coptic Church and is now our mother, actually, in St. Damiana's Monastery in Egypt. She was doing, we were blessed to have her, like I think a week before she was flying back to the monastery in Egypt. We're hoping she's going to come back to North America in a few months. But anyway, she gave a talk to our youth, and she said, you know, she quoted St. Paul about be transformed, don't conform, but she also quoted this wonderful verse, Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 8, where St. Paul says, finally, brethren, whatever things are, he lists 8 things that we should meditate on. And unfortunately, if you go through them carefully, whether it's social media or the news or what have you, or gossiping, we often meditate on the opposite of those things. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's anything, any virtue, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So he doesn't say meditate on, you know, yucky stuff or wars or gossip or you know, random ideas that people have that are against the truth. That was quickly about love. Okay. Next part, we just want to talk about how to talk to God. Okay. And how to talk to God as children. Anyone have children? Anyone know children? We typically teach children a few important things when they're small. Okay. We teach them how to say sorry. We teach them how to say thank you. And we teach them how to say please. And we actually don't even need to teach them the fourth one, which is to say, I love you, because if you are loving to them, they will say it and they will show it. So there's one of the books that I used talks about, well, God wants us to be like children. Like we teach children these basics, we should teach ourselves the same way when we are talking to God. So we're fortunate and blessed in the Coptic Church that we use the phrase Kyrieleison, or Lord have mercy, very often in our services. So that's our way of saying sorry, really. Like, and we say Psalm 50 in each hour of our Ishbeya prayers. That's our way of saying sorry, Lord. But also take the opportunity, especially during the Lenten season, to go through the sacrament of sorry, which is confession, repentance and confession. I think that's one of our neglected sacraments, and sometimes we make it into a bigger deal. There's, thank God, now many abunas in the Ottawa area, or you can even phone an abuna abroad and confess that way if you so choose. Do not neglect the sacrament of sorry. Sorry, Lord. Sorry, Lord involves running back to him. And again, running back to him is essentially repentance. So if I've turned my back to the Lord, I need to turn back and run towards it. If I've turned towards the Lord, I still need to come closer to the Lord, because it's not like, okay, I've repented and I'm good now. I need to work. If I had a vice or something bad, I need to get rid of it. If I'm doing something good, I need to do more of that good, or ask the Lord to help me to be better. So sorry, Lord. Thank you, Lord, again. Thank God we're blessed with always praying the prayer of thanksgiving in our daily routine. But be thankful not just for like the food on the table or your grades or your job. Be thankful that he died for us. Be thankful that he's gone to prepare a place for us that eye cannot, has not seen, ear has not heard, and you cannot comprehend. So sorry, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Please, we don't have to do please, but again, please what? Please, Lord, save me. Please help me. Please help my brothers and sisters So not just please give me the latest model of iPhone. Now the Lord is still knocking and he says, do you love me? So the children with their parents, the parents, it's their joy when a little daughter or a son comes up and says, I love you, mommy or daddy. We need to do that with the Lord because he is more loving than your mommy and daddy. Okay? He said, of course you're going to say, yeah, we all love God. Like, that's a given. But he says, do you really love me? Because I've been knocking and you've been ignoring me. In fact, sometimes you straight out block me out. You don't read about me. You read about these movie stars and the Oscars and this, but do you read about me? And our attention span has gotten very low now. Like, we'll love a 4-word verse, but yeah, I need to sit down and read a chapter. Like, come on, like, I got stuff to do. You don't read about me. You don't seek to understand me. You don't talk to me, yet you talk to others. You don't run to see me, yet you run to your game or to run to see others. You don't listen to me, yet you listen to the world. You don't talk about me, yet you talk about others. So kind of, it's not like a checkbox, yes, I love you. It's like, what action proves that you love me, the Lord asks. So anyways, talking to God, we're saying sorry, we're saying thank you, we're saying please, but the thank you and please are in the proper context of what is appropriate. You don't go to a king and say, thank you for the 25 cents that you gave me. It's like, well, I gave you $1 billion, I gave you this whole empire, I gave you life with me eternally. I gave you what I gave my only begotten son, that you have a share in that. So be thankful and ask with pleas for the right things and say, I love you. So we covered relationship, we talked about love, we talked about how to talk to God in the basic forms as we teach children to talk politely, saying sorry, thank you, please, I love you. Listening to God, you all know. So, but I found this book recently, and I haven't finished reading it. So listening to God, obviously the word of God is scripture. And someone said, you know, part of relationship and basics, Bible engagement basics. And it focuses on 4 things we need to do in order to live the Bible. And it's wonderful, again, in the Coptic Church that every time we read a gospel, there's a prayer that the priest says that help us to basically live what we are hearing. May we be worthy to hear and act according to your holy gospels. So and we won't do it today because I've kept you long enough, but in James, I'll just give it to you, James chapter 1, starting verse 21, or I'll read it quickly. It says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Receive with meekness. So the first thing we need to do is accept to receive God's word. Then he says, but be doers of the word and not just hearers. So the second thing we need to do is respond. You hear the word of God and you have to act out. It's not you hear it and you put it on a shelf. And then he continues, he says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in the mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But then he focuses on 2 important aspects. He who looks carefully into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So basically it's telling you, receive the word of God, reflect on the word of God, don't forget it but remember it. So receive, reflect, remember, and then respond or act. And that's how we ought to listen to God. So we talked about relationship with God based on love. We speak to God and we listen to God. And with that, you can eat pizza. Any comments or questions? Everyone's tired? Going once. Can we introduce each other to a mic?
Nathan.
Teresa.
Roman.
Roman.
Mira.
Priscilla.
Joseph.
Mira.
Mina.
Helena.
Peter.
Jasmine. Christina.
Maria.
Cool.
Nice to meet you all. Thanks for bearing with me. God be with you. Have a blessed rest of Lent. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. May the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit of God, Lord, yes, we pray to you thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. In Christ Jesus, our Lord, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Have a good night.
Thank you.